this visit that I had in Israel in 1971 was interesting, and it was an eye-opener for me, and I was taken by a Joe Schwartz, a public health sanitarian who did a lot of important work in Africa to cut down on malaria and so forth, and he had me giving a speech to the students in a school of pest control, and that's where I learned that in Israel, pest control is considered a segment of the pie of public health. They consider themselves as sanitarians, and that's an advance over the United States. And I am now in the process of trying to change that for the whole country, and I've written some important papers, and I'm giving some talks at the University of Pittsburgh, Graduate School of Public Health, to try to get those two disciplines together, because they are very much part of the same team of public health. We deal with macroorganisms and the medical people with microorganisms. They disturb people and they disturb their peace of mind, and it's very much should be considered the same. And there's a little bit of contact between the two disciplines, but I would like to see speakers and lectures and courses given. And my friend at the Graduate School of Public Health thinks that he can have me in on a regular basis, and I hope to get this part of graduate schools all over. One of the things I'd like to do, if I could, and I'm writing this article right here now, my next that I'm giving a talk at St. Louis, is to get medical schools to give at least 1 hour in 4 years to medical entomology, the insects that bite, so that they can get a better idea as to what's biting people. We have, our industry is in trouble because a doctor is going to tell somebody, oh, that's a certain insect that did that, and it wasn't. And we are busy treating for the insect, and there's another cause for it. And it's a real problem for our industry, and that's because the medical people have not been taught very much about the insects which bite and how they injure and what they do and so forth. So that's a pretty big problem, and I'm sure I can't do a whole lot, but I'm going to make a stab at it. Environmental concerns are a very serious consideration of mine, and they are sometimes in a collision course between that and with the public desire for comfort and for industry's corporate interest in providing it. Environmentalists usually go to excesses in their zeal to provide a zero-risk free environment, and industry often totally disregard the public good when the bottom line is threatened. And my perceived mission is to find that middle ground, one in which society can enjoy most of its blessings and still have a reasonable degree of safety. I've antagonized large corporations in the process with my many talks and articles in the pest control industry. In addition, federal agencies have been embarrassed by some of my articles because of some of the excesses in regulatory zeal, which have actually backfired and hurt society. And one of the pamphlets or booklets or books that I'm planning to write is one that's going to be entitled "Lord Help the Help, Lord Save Us from the Do-Gooders." And I can document a great number of very serious, expensive boo-boos that has been occurring on account of well-meaning environmentalists. I've given dozens of talks to academia before national and international entomological meetings, before university graduate schools, beside the pest control seminars, conferences, and conventions throughout the United States, Puerto Rico, and Jamaica, and the West Indies. And my specialty seems to be in finding unorthodox approaches to pest control, those which are environmentally acceptable and still be legal. In addition, I've been writing articles for years. One of them is a series of monthly myth conceptions. I gave you a copy of some of the earlier ones. These are myth conceptions in which I explode cherished procedures and concepts of the industry. That's one reason I get so many calls to talk and to write. I've been invited to do research projects by various disciplines, as diverse as the Veterinarians Association of America, American Mausoleum Association. An article in one trade journal, Pest Control Magazine, listed 10 top experts in our industry. And I was surprised to find my picture as one of them. I gave you a copy of that. Especially since I was surprised because I'm on the editorial staff of the competing pest control technology. My association with entomology in Pennsylvania is particularly strong, and I already told you that I was secretary of the Pest Control Association from its inception until 1980, about 30 years. I was secretary of the State Association, and I told you about the Hall of Fame Award and about that display, that cabinet display with the artifacts. So my impact on the pest control industry is rather strong. Yesterday I went to visit the Heinz plant over here, and that reminded me of many things. I gave a seminar for the Heinz factory about 7 years ago, and eight years ago, in which they had all their experts from all over the United States, about 50 or 60 people, and from Canada, and I gave them a three-day lecture from 8 in the morning till 10 at night. They really worked hard just to educate them on all the problems that exist with insects and rodents and birds, and they take their jobs so serious. And yesterday I went to visit with them, and I was amazed at the super clean arrangements. I wish all factories were that careful. They're just absolutely spotless. There's no kitchen in anybody's house that is as clean as what they have. I had to put on a net on my hair. Oh, is that funny? Me, I'm almost bald. They wouldn't let me in unless I put it, because there might be a hair fall out or something. Right. That was interesting, watching all the soups being made and the bottles of baby food and so forth. And then I saw a mashgich there, a rabbi, and they said that they have around the clock, 24 hours a day, they have somebody is there watching their kashrus. They really are really amazing.
Is that playing on the north side?
North
there?
Side, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the man who was in charge of the operation there had me over for some advice on improving things, what he could do even more. And I had a problem to find what he could do more, because he taught me some tricks that I didn't know about. Part of the reason for our industry and my interest between the academia, mixing academia and practical in a very good way. And I think one of the reasons for my success is that I never went to school. I never learned that you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. And this whole series of myth conceptions, this is where they are. One after another.
How often do you publish that?
Every month. Every month.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's 20,000 people a year who read this and get it. I don't know if they all read it. But this is widely read, and my peers in the scientific community are anxious to get my ear because they want to see their name in here. And I very freely pass out all the honors to anybody who gives me any idea that I get credit for it. And so it's a very nice vicious circle in which I get more information from all these people. Here is a very good idea. I learned because I tied up with Reed from England, and so I belong to the British Wood Preservers Association. I forgot to tell you that for about 25 years. And I'm an honorary member of the American Wood Preservers Association. I forgot to tell you about that. And I have all their literature, and I read their stuff, so I understand about wood picklers. That's the preservation people for wood. And because of that, I latched onto a little device which measures moisture in plastic. And I can, matter of fact, I was in a house a month ago. It was owned by a physician, and it was being sold to a cousin of mine, Billy Katz, my first cousin. He's Atlas Travel Agency in Kaufman's. His daughter just bought a new house in Mount Lebanon, and she insisted that I go see it. So I take this instrument, and I'm poking around upstairs on the plaster, and the needle jumps. And the man who owns it is a medical doctor, and I said, "You have a plugged up gutter out there. Why didn't you fix it?" And he was shocked how I knew about it. I said, "This is our stethoscope. You have your stethoscope, this is mine." And so I am introducing that whole concept to the industry, that instead of putting chemical in 100 places to stop carpenter ants, spend 5 minutes and do what I did. You can find out the wet spots. And so I'm invited to give a talk in Maryland next month, and the subject is the micro rainforests in our homes.
Oh my goodness, Harry.
And that comes about because of the unwanted water which comes, every house gets it, a leak in the roof, a leak somewhere, and the insects find it. And this instrument can spot it. And so my concept is to not waste a lot of chemical and insult the environment with a needless exposure to chemicals when you don't have to. You just can pick the spots where the bugs are by this little increased elevation in the moisture content on the plaster.
What do you call this instrument?
It's a moisture meter. Mm-hmm. I would call it a protimeter. I have one in there. And at first it was another toy, but now it's a tremendous tool. And I believe I can get the industry to change its viewpoint on the needless, mindless waste of a lot of chemical. Just that's what their procedure is. And we can be selective, just put it just in the right spots where we want it. So that's another one of the directions in which I believe that I'm influencing the pest control industry in many ways, in concepts. One of the articles that I wrote back in 1961 on veterinarian hospitals. Oh, I didn't give you that paper, did I?
I don't think so.
I have a... I'll
give
it to
you.
I'll give it to you. But it's an article on how to treat a veterinarian hospital. And in that are concepts which were really, I believe, original. They're original with me, and I don't know if anybody else got it. And that says that let's not spray. The traditional thing was to spray the baseboard area. Everybody does. They still do it, but people can't get out of that habit, majority. But this other concept of not doing that, but instead looking for where the insect habitat is, the cracks and crevices, and just put chemical in there. And there, nobody gets any exposure to the pesticide. and the pesticide lasts a long time, and the bugs are all there, and why waste it where they spend 1% of their time? We put 99% of our chemical, let's do it the other way around. And I wrote that back in 61. And now it's called the crack and crevice method, but I didn't think of the name. And so the concepts of them bringing into the industry with like talks and speeches and articles, I think are making a profound effect on the direction that our industry goes, and I'm kind of proud of that. I don't know what else I might have missed.
Well, Harry,
you didn't ask me any questions.
You know, I didn't have to because today, because you were so well organized and you knew what we touched on before.
This was the article on veterinarian hospitals. I'm going to give you that.
Good.
And here's another article that I wrote on the integrated pest management, then and now. And this turns out to be one of the most definitive texts. It was printed in 19...
That's an original. Can we
have that?
That's
original, yeah. Printed in 1979. Mm-hmm. And one of the officials of the pest control, of the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, one of the officials told me that they made dozens of copies and they passed that out to their department heads. And they are using that as a sort of a guide. And this is a new buzzword, integrated pest management, in which people don't blindly use vast quantities of chemicals just like that, but they use it properly and measure it out and the right kind and the safest one and the best one, and they think about the insult to the environment by too much stuff. And so I brought that down from the farm use, which is what that was intended for, to a household use. And that was all written in here. And that article is a sort of a definitive text for that whole movement. The other thing I want to give you is a copy of this book, Handbook of Pest Control, which is a Bible of the industry. And I wrote three chapters in there. This chapter is on holistic pest control. That's a term which I stole from the medical people.
Right.
And apply it to our industry. And so this is a view in which you don't look at a symptom and don't look at a one little problem, but you look at the whole picture. You look at the outside and you look at the neighborhood and you consider all the organs of a house, the skin under the floor, the pipes, the gutter, the electric system. There's all different organs of this huge body. And you look at the whole thing and you can correct problems by getting a big overview. And holistic pest control is a whole new concept. And so that's one chapter in this book which I wrote. And another chapter which I wrote, it has to do with entomophobia, and that is the imaginary fear of imaginary insects. And in here, we were talking the other day about Dr. Landy, the chagriner.
Right.
I quote him. I asked him to give me a list of all of the medical reasons for an itch, which has nothing to do with insects. And he gave me a whole list of 10 common insects, common problems which people have, which cause itching, which have nothing to do with insects. And so I got him in this very famous book.
Okay.
I think he appreciated that. And then the other thing I have in there is a book, which I'm not giving you a real thick section on equipment. I took that, when they asked me to do it, not because I was the best one for that purpose, but I wasn't going to pass up a chance to have one of the chapters in the Chumash, so to speak. That's like Luke or one of the New Testament writers having a chance in that. So, and once I got in on that, they asked me to put in this new thing on entomophobia because I had been lecturing so much on that, and on holistic pest control, which is a whole new concept. So this handbook on pest control, Malice,
right, right.
Is
you've
the most important.
Given us a title page.
That's the most important textbook in the whole industry. Everybody in the business has to have that. And if you have that, you have everything you need. All the problems you can possibly have are described in that book.
Well, Harry, it seems evident that you have really made your mark in so many areas, from archaeological preservation to the building of synagogues to genealogy and heading this whole Landsmannschaft thing with the Shadrinners, and then this enormous academic contribution to entomology. I think that we had no idea when we asked you, could we come and talk with you, that we were going to get insights into so many different fields, and we're just very grateful to you for digging among all your archives and Xeroxing all these things for us. I think that we've probably covered so many facets of, seems difficult to believe that one person could have made significant contributions in so many fields. Have we omitted anything?
Oh, I don't think so. My memory isn't as good as it ought to be. I have the capability of remembering the minutest things about some insect and the Latin name, but I when I go to shore on Saturday morning and I'm the gabbai, and I have to call people's names up, and I read the appropriate portion, I can't remember their Hebrew name after they finish the bracha. I have to give a mishaber to them. I have to ask them again, what is your Hebrew name?
That's so, a very small problem.
I have lapses in my memory that are very bad. And on the other hand, I can remember things. Well, that's normal to remember things back pretty far, certain things. But
well,
on the other hand, there's huge chapters. Huge chapters occur, which I can easily forget.
Well, I think over the span of three sessions, though, we've really filled in.
You know what I would like to do after after we're through, if you have time, I'd like to ride you. It's only 5 minutes away. I have a key to the synagogue because I'm the past president. I'd like to show you what a beautiful little gem of a building we have. It's worth about $400,000, and it's all paid for.
You can be very proud of that. Harry, I think we're coming to the end of the tape, and I think anything else we'll do will be on an informal basis. We just cannot thank you enough for cooperating with us and for, as I say, gathering all of this material, which will be an invaluable addition to this oral history. And I think that Eleanor and I have gained a great deal from this opportunity to be with you. You know,
well,
you know people and you don't know them until you have an opportunity to do this.
I'm honored that you even asked me for this, because I recognize the importance of this is history. I have a very strong sense of history, and I relate constantly to things that go back, and I think constantly about our Jews many generations, 1,000, 2,000 years ago, and how we're tied up with them and what a strong link there is. And I don't for 1 minute forget our ties and how important the past generations were, and I think it's terrible that more people don't think of that. And I'm just delighted and honored that you even came out here and are thinking about preserving some of these thoughts for posterity.
Well, we have no way of predicting who in what future decade or even century is going to, you know, to just go through this whole thing and shed all kinds of light on some aspect of your life. So we thank you very much for a wonderful experience.
Sylvia has said it all, and I can only back her up in everything that has been said. It's been a wonderful experience.
Not very many people are willing to do what you're doing. I recognize the importance. You know, it's a very small percentage of the people, less than 1%, are responsible for us keeping our sanity. The rest just go on,
well,
minding their business. Like
as long as there's always that 1%, we don't have to worry.
And you're among that elite group, and I'm really proud of you.
Thank you again, Harry.